I don't have time for a wife and an airplane, said Wilbur Wright. Welcome back, MGTOW men. I just woke up from about 10 or 11 hours of sleep. I had to pull an all-nighter two nights ago, so I apologize for the absence of videos the last two days. But we're back again with the Freedom Friday. And I get to talk to you guys about another MGTOW topic today. And nothing fires me up more than fusing two of my favorite things, MGTOW and history. So based on a request in my Jesus was a MGTOW video, I think that somebody mentioned the Wright brothers. And if they didn't, then it was already in my mind and I remembered incorrectly. And what we can glean from the original inventors, as some say and many argue, obviously there's some people that don't believe so, or we're going to look back at Da Vinci or whatever it is, of the airplane. And they were two men that were never married. So is that a coincidence or what? Would they have been able to have the time to make these advancements? Probably not. Would they have been able to spend the free time, take the risks, and put their finances and reputation on the line if they had a family and a wife to take care of? Most likely no. And that's how they etched their names into history, men, earning their testing location, Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, the birthplace of airplane, and also having universities founded after them, as we see with Wright State and Dayton, Ohio. So they accomplished much, and if you look at many inventors and those who create new things, we see a common thing. They don't have wives. They don't have families. And for those of you who don't know the Wright brothers, which is probably not many of you, you have to realize just the breadth of knowledge and the prowess these men possessed. So according to my reliable sources at Wikipedia, the Wright brothers not only flew the world's first successful airplane, while also working as a printer, publisher, bicycle retailer, manufacturer, pilot trainer, and editor earlier in their life. When a man's heart is not divided, neither is his mind, men. And when a man's mind is not divided, his energy is not either. And when a man can devote all his energy to what is at hand, a man can do great things. And that's the whole purpose behind meditation and training one's mind to be efficient. That is the goal, to keep that mind. And if a man can remove the distractions of pursuing things that do not add to his lifelong goals, then he can do great things. Building was their meditation, their prayer, whatever. So much that I can talk about in regards to Orville and Wilbur Wright, but let's just say that they were right in not marrying by taking on the endeavor to construct an airplane instead. And the first thing I want to bring up is just this concept of the success that demands singleness of purpose. Success demands singleness of purpose. I don't care what it is. It could be tiddlywinks. And one thing that I'm fascinated by, and I would love to write a book on one day, or a long article, is success. I'm absolutely enthralled by success and what makes a man successful, what makes people tick, what make people great, and what are the variables. And one of the essentials is singleness of purpose. So Gary Keller, in his book, The One Thing, states that success demands singleness of purpose. This has been said in so many ways. I can even go back to Paul in 1 Corinthians when he mentions marriage. He says, the married man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how he can please his wife, and the interests and his interests are divided. So Paul isn't warning men because this is inherently wrong, but because it detracts from a man's ability to serve and to reach his full potential for the output that he can create for the greater good in society. A man can't serve two masters. It's not possible. I don't care what this is. And this can apply to simple tasks that we do on a daily basis. We end up doing a lot of things that are just average, okay, but nothing well. And if you're trying to sell a product, you're trying to make a business, or just in general monetize anything, you cannot do it moderately well. It has to be better than any other option, and that demands singleness of purpose. If you're trying to get your 10,000 hours, you can't have three goals or three pursuits that are consuming 3,000 hours each. It's not going to lead to expertise, okay? Expertise equals monetization, not commonalities, not average. And this is exactly why Wilbur Wright said what he did when he stated, I don't have time for both a wife and an airplane. This man did not have time to reach that level of excellence if he had a wife. And Tesla didn't have time for a wife and his million inventions either. As much as it would have stymied him, you know, as many people say that, you know, it stymied him and he died alone in a hotel, he left an impact that would keep others for centuries company through his inventions and thoughts. As he was alone, he kept millions more company. And men, I believe that there is an undercurrent within MGTOW that is fascinated by what it takes to be different, but only with the intent to be great. And whatever great is in your mind, MGTOW men, be willing to sacrifice the beaten path for the fascination with greatness. So the next one is going to talk about Orville now. We talked about Wilbur's quote. And so at the age of 88, Orville, in his red pill moment, Orville's dad, Milton, passed away. And this was in 1917. And 9 years later, so plenty of time, obviously, so you, I don't really know what our stance is going to be on this, Orville's mother remarried a high school classmate of hers. So, feeling betrayed and feeling as if his father had been betrayed, Orville refused to attend the marriage and did not speak to her until she nearly passed away in 1929, eventually did pass away due to pneumonia. And some may perceive this to be too harsh of a reaction on Orville's part, although at this point, he was the only one left. Orville was left alone, having lost his father. His brother died of, I think it was typhoid, earlier at 45, and now mother to another man. But this is evidence that Orville didn't have patience where he shouldn't have applied patience to his life and to relationships around him. He didn't have time for this misgivings about things in life and pursuing things that subtracted, not added. And behind the red pill is a refusal to continue to tolerate men. The spirits that try to linger around and destroy us are the ones that we let linger around. They are the Jezebel spirits, for example. They fester when we continue to let them persist and we tolerate. Red pill is about not tolerating. And the red pill does not tolerate the wrong things, okay? Because red pill thought understands how fleeting we are and how fleeting the element of time is. And the testament of a strong MGTOW man is one that stands up for himself and his beliefs, regardless of how trivial the belief is perceived to be. Because it is evidence of his self-worth, guys. And it is based on the belief that I should not fear the outcome of the conversation or confrontation I'm having, because I'm confident that I will be the same no matter what the outcome is. I will be the same because I choose to be the same. And that's the difference, especially between a blue pill boyfriend that should have broken up with his girl as a result of a series of red flags, and the red pillar that cut off his cognitive dissonance for the Morpheus reality. And the next thing, this requires risk, guys. My theme, make situations of risk without the consequence for your own life and the lives of others. That is the equation you want to be in. And so Orville and Wilbur traveled around the world, and for their time in the 19th century and the 20th century, they traveled tons. They didn't take a conventional path in life, and they didn't pursue the businesses of his parents and dwell in cycling designs or anything that would have been lesser or more mainstream, I suppose. So no worthwhile success and notable successes comes from or free of some sort of risk. And you know what prevents you from taking risk? The same thing that kept our MGTOW brother's best friend that I mentioned a video ago. He was paralyzed by fear of losing his girl. And fear only arises from loss. And risk isn't risk if there isn't loss. And this is what Wilbur's father wrote of him in his diary after his son died. The epitome of a MGTOW man. A short life, full of consequences, an unfeeling intellect, imperturbable temper, great self-reliance, and his great modesty, seeing the right clearly, pursuing it steadfastly, he lived and died. Full of consequences. A man that incurs many consequences often is a man that incurs much success and much gain. And the next question that comes into play, men, I know that MGTOW and entrepreneurship are almost synonymous these days, in the age of YouTube especially. They're not separate, and they can be enmeshed because they're both rooted in independence, but at what cost, okay? One of the most costly things is freedom. Look at William Wallace. He lost his life for freedom. It is ultimately what we are fighting for every day, whether or not we recognize it. And thus, what are you willing to sacrifice for your innovation? Because there will be sacrifice. What are you willing to give up? Are you willing to put in your 10,000 hours or more? And will a woman get in the way? Because even if you aren't married to this woman, dating a woman can divide your mind. Speaking on my personal life, while I began to work harder towards my career, joining the school newspaper, working for a couple local papers, doing multiple internships, all within the months of beginning to date my ex-girlfriend, it does fuel you to provide. But remember, there's a huge difference between providing and succeeding, between providing and setting a legacy. And there are 7 billion people on this planet, and the reason that there are only a few of them that we can name on the top of our mind that are brilliant and that have added far beyond the capacity that is expected of them is because only a few of them have just chosen the legacy over providing. And it's because you're going to have to set yourself aside. You're going to have to set aside nights out with your friends, set aside TV, set aside moments that aren't used productively. And at the root of this is setting aside relationships that are bad. And men, this is number 4. Give your freedom time, men. Because my advice, being a young adult as I am, if you are one listening, this segment right here is primarily for you and me. Finances aren't the best that they could be. You're likely living on a meager diet. You don't have any savings. You're likely living paycheck to paycheck. Maybe not. But things are tough, probably. You're not establishing a career. You're still looking for your confidence and identity. And you don't have the social capital that you'll possess in just 10 years from now. They say your toughest job is your first job as well, unless you'll be handling this stress. This is a default time that many fall prey to a woman because they're weak-minded and beaten down by life and think that there are many voids right now. A woman will help heal that and will help fill them. This time of your life, if you're not busy, will lead you to the bars. It will lead you to look for female companionship if you give your brain time to want that. And the Wright brothers were in dogged pursuit of what they wanted. They didn't give their brain time to tarry on a woman. And the more time that you spend away from women, thinking about women and looking for one, the more time that you build your social capital, your value at work, the more you're able to handle this urge and less appealing a woman becomes. You reach a certain point on a curve, and if I had to make a graph, I would. But once you reach a certain level of stability, being with a woman seems silly. It's easy to fall prey to the thought that you need a woman as a young man, as it masks itself as a necessity next to your peanut butter and jelly diet, okay? Just realize that. Sit back. Let time go. Be patient. So brothers, be as these brothers were. Understand that these guys had a bond that many of us will never experience or even understand. It was unlikely that the strength of any bond that we know, far stronger and with a more of a pull than we are aware of, that can be had between two people, often exists between brothers, whether or not it's genetic or just a brother, as we use the term, with somebody that is not related. But just think, are there any relationships like this that lead to creation that aren't between two men, but rather two women? The only one is Bonnie and Clyde, and what did they do? Destruction. What did the Wright brothers do? Creation. Exactly. Every day create, and every day create the situations, and keep the people in your life that will allow you to fly, man. Even those around you who carry the doubts that you won't be able to. So enjoy your Freedom Friday, brothers. Soak it in. Create something today. Once again, I want to do more of these historical MGTOWs. Please hit me up with your suggestions in the comments below for the next potential historical MGTOW content. Hoodies are up, brothers. It's getting colder out there. Hoodies out.